You are listening to the podcast of the Y Church of the Elk River YMCA in Minnesota. Our mission is to seek Jesus, connect together, and share his love.
Now this time, I invite Sonia to come and read our scripture reading for today. Thank you, Sonia.
Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
It's great to be together in worship with you. As you notice, we are pausing our study on Galatians as we enter into Holy Week, starting here now with Palm Sunday, moving our way to the cross, and then to Easter Sunday, celebrating the resurrection, which of course can be celebrated daily in our lives. And what a special opportunity it is to have a season where in and out of the church we're reminded of these kinds of things being pointed to the empty tomb. We asked that question around the table of how would you welcome a king? I remember a couple years ago, when Charles became king, we were in Papua New Guinea at that time, in a Commonwealth nation, people acknowledging that King Charles was then the king. And I would imagine, the way things are going, that in our lifetime we're going to see William become king as well. And for us in our country, we don't have much of a experience with kings in a human sense, but there are, of course, nations around the world that do have kings and do know what it's like to celebrate or welcome a king. I was reminded before preparing for this sermon of, in my church growing up, did an Easter play. And it was something that I was really interested in both going to and then eventually being a part of as well. And there was a scene that depicted Jesus and his disciples and his great triumphal entry. And I remember the music, the sights, the sounds, setting up a whole marketplace scene that you could see animals coming and going, you could smell animals coming and going, hearing the excitement of people as we all knew our cue, then the Jesus character would be coming, riding in on the donkey, and the celebration that would unfold. And I remember the excitement that would build up even after performance upon performance of that time, of this really climactic, exuberant scene of seeing Jesus coming in on a donkey. And that was helpful. It was a very vivid memory for my growing up, and I think many kids of the church that I grew up at. I think many of us probably have memories when we think of Jesus, we think of this Scandinavian Minnesotan guy that we saw depicting Jesus in the play, and so many memories would connect back to that play. But what we're celebrating today is not just a fun story. It's not just a show. It's not someone playing a role or acting. We're celebrating the real, living King of Kings and Lord of Lords who has come. And we remember his entrance into Jerusalem on this day. The main point for us I'd like to grasp from this message is this: the King who saves has come. Rejoice and receive him. If there's nothing else that you retain from my sharing this morning, I hope it would be this: that the King who saves has come. rejoice, and receive him. And we'll even use this to structure our message time this morning as our format as we divide it up into different parts. Firstly, looking at this idea of the King who saves has come. Now, Sonia read the text, the passage in Matthew tells us that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. And we may ask ourselves, why was he coming there? I can think of at least three reasons as to why Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. He was coming to celebrate Passover with his disciples. He was coming to enter as the Messiah. And he was coming to be the sacrificial lamb who would save. Now, maybe that word Passover is really familiar to you. Maybe you've participated in some way or form before. Or maybe it's a little less familiar. So allow me to share a little bit of what Passover is and what we get into in this week. And there is so much during Holy Week and what we're celebrating and what we're talking about this morning that has its roots back in the Old Testament. And this is an example of that. If we were to look early on in the Bible, second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, we see that Israel was enslaved to Egypt. And Moses was their human leader, and he would go to Pharaoh, the king, and tell him to release his people, to let his people go. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. It would not release them, let them go. God sends 9 plagues onto Egypt, and still they're not released or free from slavery. Then this 10th and final plague comes, where the firstborn from every family, firstborn male, would be struck down, regardless of social standing, who's connected to who, the firstborn son would be killed in each family, and even the firstborn of all livestock would be struck down, with the exception that God instructed Israel, the whole community of Israel, that they were to take a lamb, specifically a year-old lamb without defect, and they were to eat this, to slaughter this lamb, and also take some of the blood and smear it on the doorposts of their houses where they celebrated. And where the blood was covering those houses, the Lord would pass over, and the people inside would be spared and not struck down. And sure enough, exactly as God said would happen, it happened. There was mourning throughout all of Egypt, where firstborns were struck down and killed in the night. And those who had marked their homes with the blood were covered, they were spared, they would be saved. We see in the New Testament those continuing to celebrate Passover. Passover also marks that from that plague, they were then released. Pharaoh let Israel go, and they were no longer enslaved, and they were set free. And so they remember this, the people of Israel, and celebrate it annually with this feast. And it was one of those pilgrimage feasts where men of certain ages were required even to come into the holy city, to go to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast and to remember what God did in saving them out of slavery. And it continues today. April 22nd this year is Passover. So there would be many, many people coming into Jerusalem when Jesus and his disciples came in, all coming to celebrate the Passover. So it was not unique that just Jesus and the disciples were coming in, but many, many others as well. And Jesus was crucified during this week of Passover. And before his crucifixion, he goes into a Passover meal with his disciples. And he has the Last Supper with them, where he tells them that this bread is my body given for you. And he takes the cup. And he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for your forgiveness of sins. So we recognize the significance and the backdrop that Passover has to Holy Week and to the events that we'll be walking through starting here on Palm Sunday. Also recognize that Jesus entered Jerusalem as the Messiah. We look in Matthew, and the early part of this passage says that Jesus sent two of his disciples on ahead to go and get his vehicle. In this case, it's a donkey, a young donkey. And Jesus sends these disciples off to a place that they'll find this animal. And it may seem like a bizarre, odd request, but they go in obedience. And again, keep in mind how they would have seen Jesus do the unthinkable, the miraculous, for years. Seeing the sick healed, seeing the dead raised, seeing those who were demonized set free. And so they go and they trust that what Jesus said is true and is going to happen. And sure enough, they find the animal. And again, if anyone were to ask, they would tell that the Lord needs it, and they'd return it back to them. And so they let them go. And I think, too, as we reflect on Palm Sunday and throughout this whole week of Holy Week, just the importance of how we can, with God, think back to what would it be like if I was living in that time? What if I was a firsthand witness in Jerusalem when Jesus was coming in? What if I was a firsthand witness to the trial that Jesus had, or his crucifixion, or hearing people say that he had risen from the dead, or even seeing the risen Jesus in person? And I think that as we walk through this message, I would encourage you, as well as going through this week, to think about how you know what you know of yourself. Where would you land on some of these things? How would you respond to the events that are happening? Not only were the disciples obedient, they were successful in finding this donkey. And it's prophetic what is happening. What Jesus is doing is fulfilling an Old Testament prophecy that comes from the prophet Zechariah. And Matthew even quotes from Zechariah in the passage that Sonia read. They knew that the king would be coming in riding on this donkey. And we might think it's a little bizarre in our culture and context that a king would come in on a donkey, but Jesus was not the first leader to be riding in on a donkey or a beast of burden. Again, we look back in the Old Testament and we look at the life of King David. And David's son, Solomon, becomes king. And when David is making Solomon king, he has Solomon ride on his mule, this beast of burden. And Jesus comes riding in on a donkey. Think of all the many, many people that were coming into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, coming from far and wide on foot to enter into Jerusalem. Think of all the times that Jesus got around on foot himself, walking from place to place. And this time, Jesus is not walking, but he is on the animal, riding the donkey. You can also think of Pilate having come into Jerusalem himself. Now at this time, Jerusalem, Israel, was under Rome's control. And under Rome's control, there was a governor, Pilate, who was in charge of this area in Judea. He wouldn't have typically resided in Jerusalem, but in somewhere else. But on times like these, where there'd be so many people coming in, Pilate would have come in as a bit of a show of strength in hopes to quell any sort of would-be rebellion or resistance against Rome's control of the Jewish people. So we can imagine Pilate coming in, making his own entrance into Jerusalem. I'd imagine him on a horse. I'd imagine he'd have soldiers alongside with him, a pretty intimidating show of force of what the consequences could be if someone were to not be in line with the way of Rome. And so you see this might and this kind of heavy side of Pilate's own entry, and you can contrast that with Jesus' entry. Here he is coming in on a donkey, signifying the peace, signifying gentleness, humility. Again, the people of Israel were long awaiting their Messiah. They would have known since childhood about the prophecy concerning the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who would come to save them. And they start connecting the dots and seeing Jesus coming in and saying, hey, he's the Messiah. He's the one that will save us. Imagine, though, what they anticipated Jesus saving them from. That he would overthrow Rome in their control over Israel, that he would come as the Messiah to boot out an oppressor, an enemy. And they don't fully understand what Jesus was coming in to do, although he certainly did come to set his people free from bondage to a foreign oppressor. And not from Matthew, but from Luke and Mark, we read that the donkey that Jesus is riding on had never been ridden before. It's the animal that is going to be carrying the sacrifice for Passover in the most ultimate, extreme way. Because days later, Jesus would be going to the cross, laying down his life to be the sacrifice, to pay the penalty for sin, entering into death, in defeating death as well, in his resurrection. Jesus' kingship is marked by a cross rather than by a throne. Not exactly what people would have thought the Messiah, the one who had come to save, would do. That surely this man who came in on Sunday and crucified days later couldn't be the Messiah, because how would the hero die? But as we know, Jesus is the Messiah, the one who saves, and the cross is not the end of the story. We also see Jesus coming into Jerusalem as the sacrificial lamb. Again, looking back at Passover and what was celebrated for years and years and years throughout generations of taking the lamb, of putting the blood on the doorposts, that Jesus now is the sacrificial lamb, his blood that was shed onto the cross, and the salvation that his death provides for us, that we can receive from him and his self-sacrificial act. As we move through our main thought, we come to the point of rejoice. What excitement and exuberance we can see, even in the text, and again, to imagine ourselves in that place. We got to sing Hosanna this morning and wave palm branches ourselves. We have a tangible example of what that experience may have been like in a small way. And we know from the passage that they took off their cloaks, they laid it on the donkey, they laid it on the road before him, and they cut down palm branches. Palm branches really signified prosperity. And with their cloaks, they honor Jesus. That not even the animal he's riding on has to walk on the dirty road, but that they would be willing to put their cloaks down to be trampled on by who knows how many people's feet and the animals, and who knows if they even were able to get their cloaks back, willing to give that up, lay that down as a way to honor. You know, imagine the way that we extend hospitality to one another when people enter our homes. And we see this as a great act of humility and honor, hospitably receiving Jesus as they cry out, Hosanna. And that word Hosanna really means, I beg you to save, or please deliver us. Became an expression of praise. And it's interesting that they are speaking words that come from Psalm 118. Psalm 118 comes to the end of a chunk of the Psalms that are used to praise God in connection to the Passover. So whether they know it or not, they're tapping in to this larger story and connection to what's happening and what the grand story of God's redemption is at this Passover time. There's even a connection to the root of the word Hosanna and the root of the name Jesus. Jesus' name means God saves, or God is salvation. So it's as though, even though they probably don't realize what they're saying, when they cry out Hosanna, they're crying out Jesus, Jesus us, Jesus. Be yourself to us. Jesus, save us. And we see this connection between Jesus and King David as well. And again, the passage says, Hosanna to the Son of David. So yes, Jesus was actually a human descendant of David, but also we see David prefiguring, foreshadowing the Messiah, who Jesus is. Jesus takes the good parts of David and brings it to a greater, more excellent, perfect fulfillment. We see David as a man after God's own heart. And here is Jesus, who is God himself. David would have been a military champion, fighting for Israel entering into battle to see Israel victorious over its enemies. And Jesus entered in to the truest war imaginable and has gained the most real victory over any enemy possible. And David was a king, and yet, of course, he died, and his kingship was passed on to Solomon. But we know that Jesus' reign is forever, never ending. His kingdom, his kingship, to not have any sort of end. And that he was bringing about salvation as the Messiah. He was bringing about the saving, delivering rescue that the people were in need of. And so that leads us to our final part of our main point from this message, which is our part to receive him. This is how we can respond to what Jesus has done. The salvation that Jesus offers is so much greater than only freedom from a political power or human ruler. We can ask ourselves, what am I needing saving from? What do I need to be delivered from? Maybe you have made Jesus king of your life, and in that sense, you have received eternal salvation. And maybe you have yet to do so, and desire today even to make Jesus king of your life. And maybe you have been walking as a servant of the king for decades, years, and yet there's some peace that you're still seeking freedom from, deliverance of. May we be those who exercise faithful expectation. Just as the crowds receiving Jesus acknowledged him as king, as Messiah, they're crying out to him to save them. They had that faithful expectation that the Messiah would indeed come. And here he has arrived. You know, last time I preached, talked about going to Walmart and buying sleds in faithful expectation of snow. And here we go. We have snow. I didn't have to wait till next year. And Jovi and Kyla got to go sledding yesterday. How much more should we have faithful expectation of Jesus doing what only Jesus can do? Recognizing that he has come, he's coming again, and he desires to be king of our lives in every facet, in every way. How may we put faith into action, expecting Jesus to do work that only he can do in us? We also see from this passage the honor that was given, and the people giving humbly what they had. It may just be their cloak, maybe a branch that they see nearby, but they give it, receiving Jesus worshipfully. How too may we give Jesus our worship? May we give him our whole selves, our worship, our thoughts, our actions, our hearts, our desires, giving him all that we have as we receive him as king, that we may make space for him, that we may welcome Jesus as king in our lives and in the relationships that we have with others, that it would be markably noticeable to others that Jesus is the king that we serve, and that we would follow Jesus his way. Jesus calls those who would be his disciple to take up their cross, to deny themselves and follow him. That journey in following Jesus is a journey of dying to self. That Jesus gave us the greatest example in his own death, that we would be also following Jesus in his way, that we would die to self, that we'd be raised to new life in him, in that new creation that only he can bring about. And then as those who serve the king, may we be those who proclaim his kingship to others. We know the good he has done. We know the salvation that he has provided for us. May we then turn to others in sharing the good news of this king whom we serve. And it's wonderful that we have a day like Palm Sunday to focus in on Jesus' arrival, coming in as the king, where the crowds recognized him and celebrated him. May we be those who stand strong despite what the crowds would say, that we would proclaim the truth and live according to it. So we'll close with the same thought that we began with. The King who saves has come. Rejoice and receive him. This is an exciting day for us to remember, and every day can have this same excitement as well as we wake up and remember welcoming the King into our life and living for him. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. You came into the world you created. You humbled yourself. You lived a life for others. You died death for others as well. And we thank you for this week where we remember your entrance into Jerusalem with the excitement and joy how you were received. And days later, you were crucified. We thank you, too, for the empty tomb, that the cross is not the end of the story, but you rule and reign and are returning. Thank you that you are the risen Lord. Lord Jesus, help us to respond to you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In any place that we may need saving, delivering, may we turn to you for that salvation. We cry out to you, Hosanna, save us. You're the only one who can. We love you and bless you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Y Church podcast. For more information about the Y Church, check us out online at thewychurch.org.